So it's like the miscommunication, the unclear expectations, the, I could say, non-communication in some situations, mm-hmm. right? Workload, stress, and burnout. Like, everyone's stressed out and burnt out, and already just, like, clouds judgment. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I got to deal with this person again, right? But conflicts of all kinds, right? There's, like, conflicts related to scheduling, related to roles, related to favoritism, related mm-hmm. to, like, oh, why are they getting the cute little two-year-old easy client?
Right.
And I've got this kiddo that's, like, love him to death, but he is difficult, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like that kind mm-hmm. of thing, right? And that's what we're going to get into later, like addressing the drama and like handling the conflicts and some preventative strategies, things that we've talked about before, but we're going to bring it back up again. And then like a personality clashes and differing values. And I think this is what, I mean...
Hi, my name is Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3Pi² ABA Business Leaders podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3Pi² has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ABA Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by 3Pi².
Hi.
I'm April.
I'm Steven.
And today we're going to talk about staff drama.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So we're going to look at how to deal with staff drama. Talk about the stuff and things around staff drama. I'll mm-hmm. be honest. I don't want to do this podcast.
It's okay.
This topic. I've put it off. Like, I want to do it, right? But, and I know there we have a lot to say about it. And I know that it's definitely an issue that comes up quite often within mm-hmm. all businesses, right?
Yeah.
And so I've had this podcast line up ready for a while, and I keep tucking it to the bottom of the pile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe because I just, just non-confrontational. You need something? Right? Drama. But it's super important to talk about, and I think part of why I don't even want to go there is because we were able to like shape our culture within our ABA business, and we pretty much, I'm not going to say we were zero drama, but we were able to work through things together as mm-hmm. a team and communicate. And for the most part, I feel like everyone felt heard, and I feel like our culture was pretty healthy culture, and so it was a lot of hard work though, right? It is a lot of hard work. So you're already yawning because it's so much hard work. So first of all, I think it's important to look at some common triggers in what starts drama within the ABA business. And there again, just like a lot of these topics, they are applicable to all businesses in a lot of ways, but we're focusing on ABA business because that's what we do. And of course, just like everything else, this isn't going to be all inclusive. We're just going to hit the highlights and speak from our experience
mm-hmm.
and experience from those that we work with within our ABA leaders community. So, well, I think that if I gave you a second to guess what I'm going to say first, you would, if you've listened to any of our podcasts and you know us at all, you'll know what I'm going to say first. Do you know which one
I'm going to say first? I have no idea what you're going to say first.
You don't know?
No, my mind is blank.
All right. Miscommunication. Yeah. So miscommunicating, not communicating clearly, especially looking at expectations. Workload, stress, and burnout. Mm-hmm. I think there's not much more to say about that, right? Like, I think when we are like workload, stress, and burnout can lead to drama in an ABA business. Oh yeah, right? Like,
I don't know that I like the word drama.
Do you think that's what it is about this? The reason why, like, I'm just like, oh, this feels like such a negative thing.
Change the title. We can keep it in. I think
calling it drama is like almost like an attention getter, yeah, because that's what most people talk about, workplace drama.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why, like, I'm just not really connecting to this as much as I would like to, because it's like, right, like drama, like negative, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put burnout under drama. Now,
no, but because your staff's burnout, you're more likely to have staff drama.
Yeah, I mean, that may be true. I don't know. Like, when I used to work, back in the day, where I found the most, if you want to call it drama, it was gossip, right? Or it was complaining to complain. And
but then that creates drama.
It does.
Unsettled, and you've got group like grumpy people here, and they're against these people, and then they're talking bad about these people.
Yeah, but I think, like, in my experience, it's like there are a few things that cause this, and you can remove it for the most part by just doing a few simple things, in my opinion.
Well, and that's what we're gonna get to. We're talking about like the triggers for drama and the signs of it escalating, and then strategies for addressing it, right? So we have to talk about, like, why drama shows up. So that's like the first step.
It's the first step.
Okay.
So why does it show up?
So that's what I'm saying. Okay, like, miscommunication.
Definitely miscommunication
can lead to drama in the workplace.
Correct.
And unclear expectations, like not.
Can we call it a toxic work environment?
Yeah.
Instead of a drama.
Right.
It's not a great place to work.
Right. I feel like the common everyday person, like, that's what they think of drama. They're like, oh, there's so much drama. There's stress. There's like all these people that aren't happy, and they're not being kind, and it's a very toxic environment.
Yeah, I guess when I think of a toxic work environment, I blame, like, I don't necessarily blame one person, right? But when I hear drama, I picture one person just causing a big old mess. Do you know what I mean? That's just me. Maybe I'm crazy.
And we have two very different perspectives, right? Because we have different perspectives because you're male and I'm female. You come from, like, an engineering background. I come from, like, education and, like, school, that, you know, and, like, those are, although I'm sure there's a lot of similarities, there's probably a lot of differences. And I'm not trying to, like, overgeneralize, but in a workplace where you have a lot of women working together, do you see that with, like, male counterparts? Like, you have just as much, like, chit-chatty gossip and stuff with the guys?
I worked with, like, when I was, like, the lead engineer in South Carolina, I had to work with both male and female people, right? There was a lot of female workers, and I found that they were the least to gossip, in my opinion. It was the men that were by far the worst. Oh my goodness. They would gossip about everything.
So maybe it's not so much like the sex that you identify with. It's more of like just who you are.
Yeah.
And the personality.
I can tell you that it bothered me. Like, dude, if you have a problem, say it to my face. That's it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's it.
And that's the next thing we're going to talk about is like conflicts, right? So it's like the miscommunication, the unclear expectations, the, I could say, non-communication in some situations, right? Workload, stress, and burnout. Like, everyone's stressed out and burnt out, and already just, like, clouds judgment. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I got to deal with this person again, right? But conflicts of all kinds, right? There's, like, conflicts related to scheduling, related to roles, related to favoritism, related to, like, oh, why are they getting the cute little 2-year-old easy client?
Right.
And I've got this kiddo that's, like, love him to death, but he is difficult, right? You know, like, that kind of thing, right? And that's what we're going to get into later, like addressing the drama and like handling the conflicts and some preventative strategies, things we've talked about before, but we're going to bring it back up again. And then like a personality clashes and differing values. And I think this is what, I mean, we talk to our 10-year-old son about, like the school environment, right? It's in a lot of ways, it's helping to prepare him for the workforce because, you know, you don't typically get to choose who you want to work with. And you're going to work with some people who are going to pull their weight and some people who aren't. You're going to work with different strengths and weaknesses and different personality types. And you know, and so there's some, on some level, it's like those soft skills of knowing how to work with other people, even if they're not necessarily like-minded. But then you also have, to some extent, within your company, you can create the culture based on your values and how you want it to look as well.
Yeah.
And we can hit on that in a few minutes. But I think a lot of us, if there's any other triggers or things that you feel like cause the toxic workplace or drama within the workplace, however you want to call it, let us know. But I think that really covers like the gist of it, right? And of course, there are those situations where sometimes I know you said like toxic environment and the way that you feel is like it's a cultural thing and not just one person.
Yeah.
However, I have seen firsthand and I've heard from, you know, business leaders that we've worked with too, that like sometimes a toxic individual, they, you know, are into the workplace and it might take a minute to realize who they've invited into the workplace and then realize that there are those toxic things are happening and then they have to they have to adjust and reevaluate.
Yeah. I just would say like when you do find that toxic person, it is your responsibility as a business owner, if we're talking to business owners right now to remove that toxic person.
Yeah.
You have to do that because if you don't, then you'll be saying the things that we've heard many times. I don't know who, this is no longer my company. I don't even recognize it anymore. And it's...
Well, and two, I think, and we may touch on it in a little bit. If our conversation goes in the direction of my outline that I planned, sometimes that does not happen and still turns out to be good information. But, am I the asshole, right? As the ABA business leader, as the owner, as the leader within the company, am I the problem, right? Am I the toxic person in this situation? Because sometimes what are you looking at?
I think that's a Reddit thing. Am I the asshole?
I've seen it across social media, various things, but yeah. So recognizing signs. I don't think there are a lot of blatant signs, a lot of behaviors that would be easy to identify, I believe. But there might be some more like covert behaviors that are a little bit harder to see. Or especially sometimes if you are the owner, right? Some of your staff, they may kind of hide it from you for a little bit. And they can't hide it from you for forever, right? But sometimes if you're just depending on how connected or disconnected you are with your staff, it might take you a minute more to see some of these things. That's why
like I liked when we were hiring people, especially leaders, that they also interviewed with techs, right? So because they're like, you know, how they treat people that are, you know, whatever, below them, I guess you could say, in the org chart, is a good sign as to how, like, if they're all nice to to the owners and, you know, like, that's great. But if they treat the people that they supervise or have power over, like, garbage, then they're not, you know, they're not great. So, like,
So changes in team dynamics, drop in staff morale or productivity, and that I kind of look at inconsistent attendance. So calling out. Maybe they're
to the core.
Avoiding it, right? Like, I'm gonna have to see that supervisor today, or I'm gonna have to work with that tech, because it's not just about like techs. It's like the tech BCBA admin, scheduler, biller. Like, it could be anybody within your group.
Yeah, right? Well, it could be you listening to this too, and you could be causing a problem. This one area that I found we had trouble in, and I feel like we did really good job at trying to mitigate this, but if an employee came to me to complain about you,
yeah,
that takes a lot of guts to do. Because, really think I'm not going to go over there and talk to my wife right. about the person
so, that like,
came in here and attacked her?
You the know owners I mean? are in a relationship.
Even if they're buddies. Yeah, that can be very difficult. Again, knowing that this person has limited power here, and if they go to person A, they know it's going to go to person B, and these people can fire them. And so at this point, the owners have to make the decision, do I just fire this person because they're saying mean things about me, or I self-evaluate and say, maybe I'm part of the problem, right? And if this happens enough, maybe you're part of the problem. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's something that it's really important to do some... do some work on yourself, right? Not to say that I am at all perfect. I have lots of things that I can work on, but like, this is something that you really need to do. You have to do your own self checks, right? You have to have, again, a great reason why you should have a mentor that you trust that can tell you bluntly, dude, this is not how you should be handling this situation, right? I think that can be very helpful, because it's really hard to, you know, look at yourself objectively, right? And if you're a major contributor to this, then it's gonna, like, it runs downhill, right? So
yeah. So, you know, you're gonna see things like increased complaints or negative feedback from employees. Those are gonna be like the more like the easy to observe behaviors that you'll start seeing more of, and you may even start, and you may not, because sometimes they might be going to each other, or they're, you know, and that's when like cliques start forming within the staff. Or sometimes supervisors, BCBAs, will find themselves in the position where they're if they don't feel supported by the admin staff within the company, they start taking on this drama and they start trying to figure it out. And some are amazing at those problem solving and conflict resolution. But even if they are, like, if they're not getting the help from other team members, right? And then that could be contributing to their burnout, or they're constantly busy dealing with drama and not really able to focus on the client, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if they are trying to help these people that have legitimate concerns and it turns into drama and frustration and annoyance and burnout and all that good stuff, but that everybody know, like, this is not going to be a secret. Like, okay, BCBA, it can help, like, talk me through some of these issues, but ultimately there is no change, because this BCBA can't change the direction of the company. They can't change leadership, right? And so
they need to be able to come to
the leadership. Like, and right. If the leadership is unwilling to hear these complaints, then this doesn't stop, right? And so it only gets worse.
Because it is a dual responsibility, right?
100%.
And, you know, it's a dual responsibility. Everyone involved is responsible, you know? And so speaking up, if you're not the owners, like the leadership, and if you are in leadership, you have to be able to, like...
to take that criticism.
To meet with your... Yeah. So, okay, so what are the most effective ways to prevent and address staff drama in a clinic or home-based setting? So there are a few, right? Well, more than a few. So, of course, like one is establishing clear communication protocols and promoting a culture of collaboration and mutual respect. Conducting regular team building activities and training. However, don't just slap a team building activity on it and expect it to be like the fix, because that's probably pretty not likely to happen, right? Training, absolutely. So, you know, we scream from the mountaintops every chance we can how important training our staff is. But also training on those soft skills and those conflict resolution and the communication skills, and, you know, allowing those opportunities to train on those and allowing the opportunities for practice,
yeah,
right, are super, super important. And then creating those avenues for staff to voice their concerns without fear of retaliation.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go through a couple more points here, and then we're going to switch over to like some of the processes and procedures that we have in place and we've done trainings on,
mm-hmm,
before within the ABA business leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll kind of build on that. So, so there's addressing, so it's seeing it, right? It's like knowing why it's there, and like I said, we're hitting the high points, because if you have a very specific problem within your company, you can really go use your behavior skills and dig deeper and really get curious and maybe what very specific situations are. The signs of the escalating issues, right? So then, like, how to address it proactively, how to handle conflict resolution. So I just kind of went over the points of addressing drama proactively, and then the conflict resolution, you know, what steps can ABA business owners take to mediate and resolve conflicts when drama arises? So like things like staying neutral and gathering all perspectives, encouraging open solution-focused conversations, setting clear actionable resolutions and follow-ups, and knowing when to involve HR external mediation services. But like, this isn't like a little checklist that's like check, check. Each one of these things are pretty broad and all-encompassing, and you have to shape the culture of your company for these things to really be true and actionable and doable. Like, you can't just be like, you know, let's talk about this. Let's invite open conversation in these like one-off drama situations, because it's not gonna get you anywhere. If anything, it might accidentally strengthen those behaviors, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really about how you build your work culture, right? How you build the culture of your company. And so business owners definitely have a huge role in fostering, mm-hmm, that work culture that minimizes drama and encourages teamwork. So recognizing, you know, the behavior you want to see more, right? Of course, basic behavior, right? And providing those opportunities for professional growth and development, encouraging transparency and regular feedback, implementing ongoing conflict management training for supervisors. But how, like, okay, that sounds great, April, but how do we do this, right? Like, how do we truly, really do this where we're not just, we have a checklist that we're checking off and we don't even really know what these pieces mean, right? So it's super important to first know your values, have your values, know your values, know what they mean. Why are you laughing?
Like
what we preached about so many times, like, not just you have your values slapped up on the wall, but you have true working values and you know what your values mean and what those behaviors look like and what the behaviors don't look like, mm-hmm, that match your values. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think that, like, these things start because you don't have the right systems in place. Like, if you had a solid position, like a solid understanding of your values, And then you can implement them into your day-to-day activity, such as hiring. Then maybe you can weed out some of these negative characteristics that you don't want in your company, that maybe they would be great fit in another company, but they're not what you want in your company. That can resolve a lot of it right there. If you have a really good understanding of your values, it can really help with the onboarding process and the hiring process to weed out some of these people that just are not a good fit for your team, right? But again, if you're finding yourself in the middle of a situation where you have multiple people gossiping and not like and like with a bad attitude, and they seem to always be having a negative tone, if it's more than one, they're not the problem, right? Like, this isn't like, and I mean, maybe if it's 2 out of 500, okay, yeah, but like if you have a small team of 10 to 15 people and 2 or 3 of them are going around with negative attitude, there's probably something within your system that is not addressing the concerns of your staff appropriately. That's it. And so, like, I really, like, and I already talked about this, and maybe you have more points to talk about, but, like, it's really important to have a good understanding of your own flaws and your own blind spots. And because, like, if you get lost and, like, you know, when I had to deal with employee conflict, even outside of ABA, like, I would go in with a certain opinion. Oh, this guy is doing the wrong thing. Right. And then when I could take a step back and be open in those situations, I would find out a lot of information that I either didn't really completely understand. Like, very rarely do I meet somebody that doesn't want to do a good job, right? They want to feel appreciated at work. They want to feel like there's a purpose at work. They want to be doing meaningful work. And most people don't go to work to say, I'm going to do the worst job humanly possible, and I'm going to take everybody down with me. Yeah, no. Like, that's not normal. So, like, I feel like going into these conflicts with this grudge on your shoulder, how dare you ruin my day? Like, I have other things that I need to do, is probably, again, that's probably a blind spot on you. And maybe you need to take a step back. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so I feel like that's really important to understand when you're coming into these things, that maybe some of this is on you, right? Maybe there are things that I could have done that are relatively simple and maybe inexpensive. I'm not saying you can fix everything. I mean, doing ABA and being an RBT is hard work, right? And there needs to be room to vent and get upset and exchange really horrible experiences, because it's hard. It's a hard job, and they're very like, you want these passionate people, right? And they need an outlet, and I totally get that. But at the same time, do you know what I mean? Like,
well, I think you know, there are ways to do it. Like, once you have your and we can talk about a little bit more details here in a second, but like, right, like, have an outlet. Like, what's the replacement behavior? Like, what's a more appropriate way for them to get what they need, right? And what if it, you know, sometimes we just need to complain. There is a place for that.
April and I are so honored to have Margin Keeper sponsor this podcast.
Running an ABA business comes with its share of challenges. Managing clients, staff, insurance, the list goes on.
One thing you shouldn't add to your stress, bookkeeping. That's where Margin Keepers comes in.
They're specialists in ABA businesses, which means they understand exactly what we need.
With Margin Keepers handling your finances, you can focus on what really matters, your clients, and your practice's growth.
They're more than just bookkeepers. They're lifesavers in the financial world of ABA.
So for peace of mind and expert financial management,
turn to Margin Keepers. It's a decision that will lift a weight off of your shoulders.
Check out Margin Keepers at www.marginkeepers.com and see how they can help your business thrive.
And there's a place for venting. It's just like in moderation. It's like, at some point it does cross that line of it's no longer healthy.
Sure.
Right. And so looking at like, what does that look like? And of course that might be a little different per person. Mm-hmm. And you may have a tech that you're like, okay, come in my office. Okay. I'm going to set a timer for 10 minutes and you just go. You just get it out. Sure. And I'll just listen for 10 minutes and then we'll decide what our next step is going to be of how we remediate this. But that might not be what works best for everybody. So I think too, part of having a team, right? Mm-hmm. And building a team, especially in those beginning months, beginning years when you're growing your first team for the first time.
Yeah.
It's like having that first kid, right? It's like you're going to make mistakes as you go and you're going to learn. But then your next kid, you're like, oh, I'm not going to make this mistake with my next kid. And then your next kid's a whole completely different individual. And you're like, oh, this is a whole different story. I really feel like having team members and having parts of your team, it's always going to ebb and flow. And it's going to change. And it does take practice and knowing how to work with people even. And how to manage and lead people. So I do think that, you know, having an environment where people can speak what they need in a healthy, productive way. Mm-hmm. And so modeling that, what that looks like is a big piece of that, right? Like you're saying, you might be part of the problem. And acknowledging that speaking out can be difficult, right? Understanding that, you know, not everyone has, like, we all have different levels of emotional regulation.
Yes.
Right? And the understanding of how to, like, we were talking in not long ago, recent podcast about taking a pause, right? Like not running around like everything's on fire all the time. Like, so being able to take a pause, being able to have some self-regulation and nervous system settling techniques. We all have various abilities for that. And so that's like I was saying for training, you know, sometimes thinking of like outside the box training on how to do those things are very important, right? Whether you have a, you know, meditation meditation program, whether you have, you know, you part of your perk is gym memberships or, you know, yoga classes or something like that for your staff to give outlets for that. But we also like are working with humans. We're all human. We're humans working with humans, right? And so you may, we have to also give the benefit of the doubt, and we have to understand that we're all trying our best, and we want to succeed. Setting that up. But another like a preventative strategy that we've talked about before that can be very helpful are regularly occurring check-ins. So you can do like, there are various ways of doing it, right? You can do meeting check-ins, and we can go through that here in a second if you want to.
I don't know if we have time for that.
Or we can go through that another time, but you could do meeting check-ins at the beginning of every meeting where you do like a quick red, green, yellow kind of like check-in of like where everyone out. And the idea is like, just not that like all feelings are welcome, right? Like you don't have to be green at the beginning of every meeting, but it helps you to kind of see where your teammates are at this day, right? And then if someone's checking in as red or something, multiple meetings, then you're like, oh, I need to reach out to this person. You know, if that works with your culture, there's also just the regular check-ins with your staff at a regular, we talk about the triple C worksheet, like the clarity.
Coaching conversation.
And, introduced several coaching clients to that. And in fact, we had one of our previous clients had a lot of success in that format, helping to shape like the beginning of having these conversations with their staff, because they're like, okay, this, This is not what I thought I would
it's
be doing.
It's weird. It's weird.
This is not what I thought I would be doing when I opened my ABA company.
Yeah.
This is weird and woo-woo for me. Yes. This is not behavior analytic in nature, in my opinion. It feels weird. I just need these people to do their job. Yes. I enjoyed these people. It's not that I expected them to be robots. Like, I respect them as people and everything, but, like, I don't want to be having these conversations with them, right? So having something like a triple C worksheet can help to, like, give a good starting point and shape that up of what that could look like.
What we have in that template that we provide our customers is, like, how do you feel? This is, like, you're giving this to your employee. How do you feel you're meeting the company's values? And I think that, or if you're not meeting the company values, what part of your job do you feel is not meeting those company values? I think that can be very helpful, because not only are you getting great information if they're not meeting the values in their opinion in certain areas, right? This could be on ethical services. It could be, who knows, right? The other thing is you're getting a different perspective on how you are using your values day to day. And if there is a disconnect there, it can help you say, oh, okay, I can see where you're making this connection with this value in this situation, but that at least was not my intention. So you can really tighten those values up to give them a lot of clarity when you're using these on a regular basis, right?
Yeah, totally. You know, and like even, yeah, like what value do you think this matches?
Yes.
Or, hey, what, like even like what's the opposite? Like what?
Yeah, totally.
What is it that we're doing right now that doesn't match the values,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And how can I help you as a leader, as your leader, as your, you know, owner, whatever, you know, as your supervisor, how can I help you? Like, what's the barrier here? Let's look at identifying these barriers together. And is this something that I can support you in?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something we could change within, you know, maybe we can't change it right now, but this is great feedback to figure out how we can. Maybe it's something that could easily be changed. Some of my favorite situations, because I mean, we all like to be able to fix things, right? Was when we would have these conversations and out of it, we would really find like quite a simple fix. I'm not going to say easy, but it was quite a simple like solution.
Right.
And once we got to that point where we were shifting the culture and we were having these proactive, healthy conversations that were yucky sometimes.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're good, like
no.
they're fun,
you're
right?
You're going to get some surprising
really,
feedback in these.
They can be uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
But it's like, wow, you, my dear staff, like, were able to come to me and we were able to have this conversation, and I appreciate for your directness. And oh yeah, this is kind of uncomfortable. I haven't even thought about it in this way.
Yeah.
However, let's, you know, and then you talk through it and stuff and you're like, you know, we could change this one thing and it could shift this for not only you, but your peers.
Mm-hmm.
And look at that. We just maybe potentially reduce turnover, you know, just by listening and having the environment where everyone feels that they can be heard and listening. And like I said, doesn't mean you have to go change everything, but even a few little things that you can change can really make a huge difference.
And just a couple of things on this, like this, whatever system you use, like just having open communication, actual, really open communication, not my door is always open, and then when someone comes in and uses that open door, you give them attitude and like, why? What are you doing here? So you know, I'm just like, I would really, and this is something for me that when I moved into leadership and other roles, it's just how, looking back on how quickly I forgot how intimidating it can be, how worried you can be to come to someone in that could potentially fire you with feedback that they may not agree with or they may not like, right? So, like, I just, and you know, there are some people that you'll meet that will just say, it's like this, Stephen. And that's great. I love those people. But there are also people that just, it really takes a huge amount of effort to come to them. So I would say, again, check yourself here and show some appreciation. Again, maybe you feel like this person's always negative and blah, 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 blah. But, like, I would urge you to you know, do an Uno reverse card, right, here and say, like, I appreciate you bringing this to me. I know how difficult this must have been to bring this up. That would be the number one thing. And, like, you know, when I've done consulting on this, the pushback I get on this is, Stephen, you're just giving me, oh yeah, I've got 15 employees. I need to do these at least every other week. Now I have 15 more to-do lists, right? Like, so that's not how I would recommend doing this. The person coming to you with the concern should be part of the ownership of that concern. So, like, I would ask this person not to just come with a complaint. They also need to come up with some ideas on a solution
for that. Well, and they can come with a complaint, but then maybe that's a follow-up. Yes, it's okay, let's get back together in a couple weeks, and I would love to hear your ideas on how
to do this. Yes, yeah. Because, again, this is a job that they have to do. And while, this is kind of the Mighty Mouse syndrome, right? Like, while, like, you could get into this and say, oh, look at all those to-do lists of other people that I cleared up today. Oh, yay, I saved the day. Right? Yeah, you could get into that, but you're going to get burnt out and you're not really going to, you're not going to be in a position where you can grow your company strategically. You're not going to be looking at the big picture. You're not going to be looking at KPI that you should be doing, potentially scaling, making your company larger, whatever goal that you have, long-term goal. You're going to be stuck doing other people's to-do lists. So it's just really important that part of this is that whoever comes to this meeting is also an owner of the problem. And instead of you fixing the problem for them, giving them the power to help determine how this is resolved. Because they may have a really good idea, or you may implement something that you think is friggin' amazing, but then they come back and they're like, she really worked hard on this, or he really worked hard on this. I hate to go back and say it didn't even fix it. Like, so I it's really important to give them at least some of the ownership so that you get that feedback and did that $5,000 thing that we implemented or whatever actually solve the problem, or is it just another barrier that we have now put in place? So that's just something that I would urge you as you're doing this to not just put the responsibility all on yourself. It's about being open, willing to take that feedback, and then also giving them some ownership in this, because that, in my opinion at least, it provides a level of trust. And they know, okay, well, I'll at least have some role in this so that I can provide feedback as we go through this. They want my feedback. My feedback is important. I think that helps in these relationships.
Absolutely. Cool. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you. I know you guys are all extremely busy, and I really thank you for the time that you spent with us listening to our podcast. And if I would love to hear about your workplace drama, you can come hang out at ABA Business Leaders Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We're on Instagram and LinkedIn as well. And come tell us about what drama is going on at your and your place, how, you know, or, you know, if you're stuck and you need help, let us know. If you've kind of found some things that work, share with us. We'd love to know. Yeah. We'd love to hear.
And if you need help, like, we'll do our best to be judgment-free. I can't guarantee 100% judgment-free, but, like, Like, we, you know, just, like, we're here to help. And we have helped many companies through this, right? And no, like, if you find yourself owning a business that is toxic and there's a lot of gossip and there's a lot of drama going on, I can't imagine that feeling good to go into. So, you know, like, I just wish, I wish for you that we, you know, whether you go with us, you find somebody else, I wish for you to help, you know, the help to get through that, because that's really difficult, right? And it's already a hard job, you know what I mean? So, like and subscribe. Well, I guess we're not on YouTube, so you can't like and subscribe. But you can rate and review. So, you can just scroll down in the podcast here. You'll click on the 3Pi Squared ABA Business Leaders link to the show. And then you scroll all the way down. You'll see stars, and you can hit write a review. I'd really appreciate a review. There are thousands of you listening to this every month, and we only have 31 reviews. So please, the reviews really do help. And you don't have to buy anything. You can just write me a review and say I'm awesome. And then, we'll see you next time.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.